This is Leanne.
And this is Mandy. And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths.
Okay, so tonight I'm going to tell you about an unsolved murder from Alexander City.
Another local one, yes.
So I just came across this and I was just kind of, you know, researching and looking at different stuff. And I thought, Alexander City, you know, it's so small and I work there and it's unsolved. And it's just kind of started coming back up. So it just hit the 27-year anniversary. The story tonight is about Chanty Shiverdecker.
I know. So I told Mandy earlier that I felt... I mean, I probably shouldn't kind of jinx us, but I feel like we might be sort of safe because she's a Gordon and I'm a Turner. And it seems like most of the people who get murdered in these stories have names that we cannot pronounce
very well.
I think we might be okay. Shiverdecker is not hard to pronounce. It's just a mouthful.
That's hard for me to pronounce, yeah. But...
So, Chanty Shiverdecker was a 15-year-old girl. She and her family moved to Alexander City from Eureka, Illinois in 1994.
Okay.
So she was 15 at the time. She started Benjamin Russell High School. She was a very unique young lady. She was an albino, which means she had platinum white hair, white eyebrows, and she was legally blind from that and from chin meningitis as a child, too, which I think came the whole thing. But she didn't let that stop her. They moved from Illinois. They moved to Alexander City. And she tried for a basketball team at Benjamin Russell, and she made it. Mm-hmm. She knew she'd be a bench warmer, but that's okay. She made friends really fast. She was just really a kind of a go-getter. So shortly after they moved there, she had gone to basketball practice on a Friday night. Her parents had gone back to Illinois to pick up some things they hadn't left behind. And they were gone for a couple of days. So she was staying at home with her older brother, Christopher, or Chris, who was 16 at the time. He was supposed to pick her up from the school. It was an elementary school in Alexander City.
Wait, how old was she at elementary?
15. Okay. Well, the practice was at the elementary.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
she's
sorry.
A year younger than him, and this is 1995?
Four. And so the practice was at Bradley Elementary School, and he was going to pick her up afterwards. She was supposed to call him to pick her up. Well, the call never came. He never got a call from her. And 9 o'clock, he was like, whatever. 10 o'clock rolls around. He hadn't heard from her, and he called his parents, and they had him immediately call the police. So friends and teammates at the time said that she seemed to, like, was waiting on somebody, I guess. So they offered her a ride. She's like, no, I'm good. So she wasn't seen again after that until her remains were found about 6 weeks later on February the 25th. An anonymous caller called in to the Coosa County Sheriff's Department, said they found human remains in a wooded area off of Highway 9 and 22 in Coosa County, about 10 miles from where she was last seen. Now, they did search around the school and all that, but didn't really find any. Nobody can really tell them anything. Nobody knew who she got in the car with, but it did seem like she was sort of waiting on somebody.
It so, maybe wasn't her brother.
Not her brother.
I mean, she would have called him.
Yes,
she never called him. Her parents are out of town, and so maybe someone else is picking her up.
Yeah, so all the people that were there with her said, you know, they said, hey, you need a ride. And she's like, no, I'm good. Like, she was new waiting for coming to get her.
Yeah.
Yes. So her body was found, like I said, on the side of the road or in a wooded area. Somebody somebody was looking for some land. He remained anonymous. He didn't want to get involved.
Okay, so an anonymous tip.
He called in and said, hey, there's a dead body out here. You need to go look at it. And they went out there. And
that's very odd that he didn't want that. He would put an anonymous tip and just run across the body.
He was out there looking at the land to purchase it and ran across it.
Still weird. Why would you, if you had nothing to hide, why would you?
Well, I think he didn't want to get involved. I think they turned out that he had... Nobody knew.
Oh, they found out who he was and everything.
Yeah, they knew who. I mean, he had nothing to do with it.
Okay.
But anyway.
Just wondering.
Yeah. So.
Side note, sorry.
Her body was found. She was found nude and with only her tennis shoes on. No clothes. No purse. No nothing. There was no foreign DNA that was found. They couldn't determine the cause of death because it's a decomposition, which I thought was weird because it was in kind of the wintertime.
5 weeks.
Alabama. I guess.
That could be.
But there was that bullet. There was nothing that showed any kind of cause of death. So later, her purse and her backpack were found along the road, like if they were just tossed out of the window. But her clothes were never found. So, of course, the first thing they do is want to interview the family, people close to them. I think there was a lot of suspicion that fell on to Chris, her brother.
Oh.
Because they were home. Yeah. So the dad did a polygraph. She had my stepmother, Gloria, who also did that. even though they were out of town, they were like, that's fine, whatever we have to do. But they actually ended up giving Chris 3 polygraphs.
Wow.
So it was pretty bad. I mean, they kind of, you know, kind of leaned on him pretty heavy.
I think it's because they had no one else, probably. And the clothes were taken probably for the because there was DNA on them.
So yeah.
So they take the clothes, burn them.
So after Chris was, you know, had the polygraph and he was cleared and all that, somebody did come forward that were reports of sightings on. So there were 2 people that came forward. One was a guy, a gas station attendant, who said that he saw her that night with 2 boys in a blue car. And that one boy stayed in the car and seemed to be a good bit older than her. And then the one that came in with her was about her age. And, you know, she's pretty easy to recognize because of her physical appearance, you know, the white hair and the white eyebrows, you know. So
came into a gas station?
Yeah, into a gas station that night after the basketball practice.
Okay.
And didn't say, like, what they bought. But by the time the police got there to actually look at the surveillance,
yeah,
it had been taped over.
Oh.
So they couldn't see it. And then another lady came forward and said that she saw her in Walmart that same night with 2 different boys. Now, the 2 boys that she described were actually brothers. I actually think that I couldn't find any names. They weren't naming these kids because they've never found anything to link them to her disappearance, either set. But they were both brothers, sets of brothers.
2 different sets of brothers.
2 different sets of brothers. But the ones that they saw at Walmart were, she was actually friends with the younger brother who was actually, I think, in a special ed class. And her stepmom, Gloria, thinks that maybe the lady was mistaken on the night because a couple nights before, Chaitee had actually gone to Walmart with these 2 brothers.
Okay, so that.
I think she was just mistaken on her nights that she saw her there.
Probably, yeah.
But they were found to have, you know, no connection
with
her.
You would think Walmart
have some. But nobody knows about the gas station night. Like, they can't see what happened when she was there. So nothing really happens. That's in 94. Kind of goes cold. There's nothing to really go on. So in 1997, a man named Clark Morris was arrested for burglary in Seattle. I know, really far away. He's like a transient type person. Mm-hmm. He was arrested. And while he was in custody there, he actually confessed to her abduction and murder to his cellmate. So he also confessed to other murders he said that he'd gotten away with and with no specifics, but he did. The reason they thought that he could possibly be telling the truth is because he said that she was found with only her tennis shoes on. And the police
made sure they didn't put that.
Yeah, the Alexander City police were pretty certain they did not release that to the public or the press because they wanted to know, you know, make sure that if they ever found somebody, only the killer would know those details. Turns out that it was actually printed in a newspaper at some point. So they did, though, manage to get a grand jury convened in Alexander City to try and indict this Clark Morris fellow. That didn't happen. They couldn't find enough evidence to really link him to her murder. So that just never happened. So now,
I don't think she would have gotten a car with a complete stranger.
That is what her stepmom said that. Everybody kind of said that. Like, she's not somebody, I mean, she just moved here. She made friends pretty quickly. I mean, she only lived here for, what, like 6 weeks before she disappeared or was murdered? So they don't feel like she would have gotten in the car with a complete stranger.
No,
not to mention everybody outside the school kind of, you know, said she was clearly expecting whoever was coming and knew that they were coming to get her. Like, she knew them. Her stepmom said that she just wasn't that, you know, the type of person to do that, just get in the car with a random person. She was a little smarter than that. So there was nothing. I mean, even when I go back and look at articles, there's really nothing in between. But now her brother, Chris, has kind of tried to get this kicked off again. So it's been 27 years since Chaitee disappeared. And he started a Facebook page completely devoted to it. It's called Chaitee Shiverdecker Unsolved.
Okay.
And this is what he wrote on here. It's really sweet, kind of sad. And both of her parents are actually, I believe, still living.
Mm-hmm.
So they may
they
be
live here? I mean, close to, I mean.
It didn't really say. I'm assuming so.
Yeah.
So this is what Chris wrote on Facebook. I just really would like for him to get some
closure.
Answers.
Some answers. Yeah.
Then he says, 27 years is a long time. Long enough that I can't remember the last time I saw my sister or the last words we said to each other. Long enough that I can't remember the last place we went together or the last time we ate as a family. Who takes notes of these trivial things, assuming that there are tens of thousands of such moments to come? Little did my family and I know that on December the 9th, 1994, that no more of those moments were to follow. We as a family were about to have the worst day of our lives. The day that my sister, Chaitee Martria Shiverdecker, wouldn't be coming home. 27 years is a long time to spend countless days considering the same unanswered questions. To be lost in a terrible limbo of suspicion and wonder. to know that there is an answer out there, but to remain elusive to this day. It's been 27 years to the day that my sister went missing, and the case is still unsolved. That being said, this past year has been the first in a very long time that I've been optimistic that answers may be possible. The internet and Facebook have been invaluable tools in spreading weirdness of this case, and the terrific podcast and YouTube video made by J.R. Erickson have allowed the public an exposure and understanding that wouldn't have been possible in 1994. It is, and it as it always has been, my hope that the right person does the right thing and come forward with the answers to allow this case to finally be closed. If you have any information regarding my sister's disappearance and murder, please do not hesitate to contact the Coosa County Sheriff's Office or contact him directly, I guess, through Facebook. Please share and keep this case in the public consciousness. Thank you. So, really kind of spoke to me because I feel like Alexander City is kind of a small, tight-knit small community.
Yeah.
27 years is a really long time, but really in a community like that, how long is that? I feel like since I've been going there, a lot of people that are there have been there.
Yeah.
They've been there for a while, especially if they went to Benjamin Russell High School. And somebody like Chanty, you're not going to forget her very easily.
Yeah.
So I just felt like there is another podcast out there, and it's called Bitter Endings, which is really a sad
name.
I know, no offense, lady.
Yeah.
And I listened to it and it was informative, I thought.
Yeah.
But man, I just feel like every single one, they're going to die in the end.
Yeah. Like it doesn't have any kind of.
There's no hope.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was extremely informative. And what she was trying to do was the same thing. It's like, get it out there so that people, it gets back out into the public. Because I think this girl deserves some justice.
Absolutely.
I mean, to move from Illinois, and to have her funeral in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Because they only lived for 6 weeks. So everything she knew was really in Illinois. So, you know, it was right around Christmas time. She goes and, you know, she disappears and they don't know where she is. They're like, she had Christmas presents under the Christmas tree. It's just a lot. But I feel like whoever did this was somebody rooted in Alexander City. And I know that sounds terrible to say, but I only say that because she was at an elementary school waiting for somebody that she clearly knew was coming to get her.
Yeah.
So wasn't like a passerby, and it wasn't somebody who wasn't most likely from that area. So I feel like somebody has to know something.
Well, in a small town, you know how people talk. That's what they always say. You hear rumors, you hear things, and there could have been those things. But the problem with his family being only 6 weeks into this town, they're not locked into the gossip, everything.
The inner circle.
Yeah.
But hopefully if somebody 27 years later has grown up and realized that it's okay to talk, it's okay to say something, you know, to help Chris, the brother, and the whole family, you know, get some kind of closure. So my goal was just to sort of get it out there. Crime Stoppers of Alabama, or is it called, or the Crime Stoppers of Alabama, did I say that wrong? Central Alabama Crime Stoppers has offered $5,000 reward.
That's what I was going to say.
Yes.
If we could,
They just did that. Like, there's a lot of stuff that just has happened in 2022 that they've sort of brought it. And I didn't really know that Alabama had a cold case unit.
Yeah. I think that I was researching.
I don't know why I didn't know that. But yeah, so they're looking into it again. Crime Stoppers has offered this $5,000 reward. And of course, you know, if you have any information, please come forward. Because, I mean, this girl was super cute. I mean, a blind albino girl is going to try for the basketball team and make it. I mean, she was going places.
Yeah.
She had like no fear. No fear.
See, like you said, like what we said, it could only be so many people, you know, in this little town. And it's just, but you know, they kind of had to be smart enough to get rid of the clothes, but didn't even get rid of the shoes. Like, it's so odd.
The thing is that it seems like maybe it was somebody that she knew also, because maybe they knew that her parents were out of town. They thought that maybe nobody would really notice that she was missing for a day or so and give them kind of a, you know, a head start on getting, you know, or not getting out of town, but getting rid of evidence or whatever they needed to do.
They could have. It's just interesting because, did she die immediately? Was it days later? Did they hold her captive? I mean, you don't know.
And since it was, you know, however long later, 6 weeks later, they don't know.
Yeah.
When they found her, I guess.
Yeah, 5 or 6 weeks. Well,
6 weeks. It was from, what did I say? December to February.
Oh, so, yeah. So it was a minute.
They found her body 10 miles from the school. So they didn't take her very far. So did they take her, I mean, did they have her for a minute or did they just take her and do whatever they wanted to her? But I'd like to know which direction. The gas station they supposedly saw her at in the same direction from where they found her?
This definitely needs further investigation.
It does. I just feel like this is something that can be solved.
I do too, because I just think there's only so many people that, and the fact that she was seen with some people. I mean, obviously the motive was sexual assault.
Yes.
Just because there was no clothes. And they, you know, I just think a kid, though, the only thing I think is if a kid or a brother, now if somebody was older, they might be smarter. But brothers, like I think to myself, okay, they're young kids would not be smart enough to know that there's going to be DNA. DNA wasn't even that great back then yet.
So what I was thinking is, like, if they really did go to the gas station, like the guy said, and they saw him, and he said that whoever was in the car waiting was older than her. So maybe she went to school with the younger.
That's what I'm thinking.
Kid, and they went in together, and the younger one probably knows what happened. But it's his brother. He didn't want to rat his brother out, you know? But well, he should.
Well, I guess this is the thing. If they were seen with them, and the fact that there was no evidence and there's no surveillance video.
Yeah.
So I think that's what has gotten this case cold. Like, they have to have some leads
or some...
And
there's no DNA. That's really
odd. There's no
DNA.
It's just odd that even though DNA wasn't even such a thing yet,
they
were smart enough to do that. So it had to be a grown person. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
To know that that could be... They need to hide that. Or somebody that has done it before.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I bet there's not very many unsolved murders in Alex City.
It's the only one that popped up when I was reading.
You want to do a local case. You know, we have a lot more local listeners, so it's definitely...
And the unsolved, especially when it's one that it seems that it could be solved. And apparently, you know, I'm guessing that, I know back then, so it was the Alexander City Police, like there was a detective that was assigned to the case, like originally, what was his name? I can't even think now. Hold on. Steve Morgan. How did I forget that?
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Steve Morgan. He was assigned to the case originally. So it was him and then the Coosa County Sheriff's Department and the ABI were all involved in investigating. So I have to assume from that that they did a pretty thorough investigation for the time.
Well,
I mean, in 1994, I was 20.
Alex City. I mean, I'm sure then. It's not very common for them to have these murders. So they probably don't have. I mean, if... Who'd you say got involved? Other people got involved, so that was probably good.
Agencies?
Other agencies
got
involved.
So, I mean, the Alabama Bureau of Investigations was involved.
Yeah.
So now, I guess, you know, they're starting this back up again.
Good.
And I don't know if it's because on their own accord or if Chris, the brother, has just pushed it so much.
Yeah.
But it has to be kind of, you know, miserable knowing that, I mean, it just seems, in my mind, so small. Like a small area, a small... group of people and a small chance, very small chance, that it would have been some random passerby at the elementary school and just saw Chanty standing on the curb waiting for a ride.
I think the police may have an idea, but they just don't have enough evidence and
maybe
to take him to trial. But let me tell you, they take people to trial with a lot less things. Nobody.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't get this Clark Morris fella indicted, so I don't know. There was nothing else that indicated that there was even a person of interest right now.
Who was Clark Morris?
Clark Morris is the guy who confessed from Seattle.
Oh, yeah, I don't think he did anything.
Yeah, he didn't do anything. I think he was just trying to get attention.
Yeah, I just don't feel like it because, you know, like you said, this had to be somebody that knew she was going to be at the elementary school and she would not get in the car with a stranger. That just doesn't make any sense. She wasn't that...
No, I mean, so far
young.
From home. I mean, not home. I say that.
She'd long, only been
she
there
grew,
6 years.
Yeah, she grew up.
6 months.
Yeah.
6 weeks, my goodness.
She'd grown up in, you know, Illinois.
Yeah.
And I think the town Eureka, Illinois is like a population of like 5,000. So to her, Alex City was a big town.
Oh.
You know,
that's
to
different.
Her. So which is odd, but to her it was kind of a big city. And I think back then, I don't know if like it may have been a little more bustling than it is now because of the mules and all that stuff, all the muscle stuff. But anyway,
well, that's good. They're opening it back up. I mean, they solve cases 40 years later. So there's definitely hope for her brother, and that's a really good thing. And maybe we can look into this some more and, you know, help put the word out.
Yes.
Doing this podcast helps.
Yeah,
everything.
Please share it. Share the podcast. I mean, to get the word out there, go and look at her. Look at the Facebook page. The Chanty Shiverdecker Unsolved is what it's called. Go like her page. Share the post. Do everything that you can. And, of course, if anybody has any information about this, you can call the Central Alabama Crime Stoppers at 334-215-STOP. Or you can call the detective, I think it's Mackin, I don't know how to say it, sorry, at Alexander City Police Department at 256-329-6746. But all that's also on the Facebook page for her, all that information.
Okay, well, I'll go join
even if you think
tonight.
It won't help,
it might help, like anything.
I'll go join that tonight, and let's get the word out there.
Yes, please, please.
So that's, man, I just hope.
I know, I'm going to keep following this one.
For sure. We definitely need to keep following this one. And I'm glad you picked this one this week. I've never heard of it. I didn't know anything about it. And this
Me neither.
Episode 18. And like, rate, review.
Yes. And be nice.
And be nice. Follow, yeah.
Follow us on Instagram and Facebook and whatever else we have.
We got a lot of activity on Facebook. Instagram, I feel like maybe... Yeah, we need to get a little bit more.
Slacking on Instagram. Y'all get on Insta.
Y'all get on Insta. And email us with any stories you'd like us to tell.
Yes, email us. And even if you want to email any information that you have to us, we'll pass it along to whoever.
Yeah.
And it's a $5,000 reward for any information.
Yeah, you would think maybe that would get somebody talking.
@gmail.com
Yes, to Blonde Sleuths. Thank you so much for listening.
We'll be back next week.